Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from John chapter 13 and verses 1 to 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter answered, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You called me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Thanks be to God for his holy word.
As Andrew was sharing earlier on
about that circle and trying to break into that circle, it reminded me of a time when I'd just started to serve in my church. This was a small village church in the heart of Suffolk, and I was a Sunday school teacher. I was 16 years old, and I heard about a Sunday school leaders training event, and I went to it, and it was really helpful. And while I was there, they said, "There's a few of us that go off to this thing called Spring Harvest to run the children's work for 5 to 7 year olds. Would any of you like to come and be part of the team?" Now, I was a painfully shy 16-year-old. And the idea of going to this big thing where I knew nobody was utterly terrifying. But I thought, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to try. So I signed up, and there was a training day, and I thought, okay, I haven't committed, I can go to the training day, and once I've discovered it's awful, I can never ever have anything more to do with this. And I was really, really shy and really, really uncomfortable, and I arrived, and the moment I arrived, the first person that I saw actually walking towards where the training was happening said, "Hi, welcome, it's so lovely to see you. Have you come for the training for Whiz Kids?" I said, "Yes, I have. Come on in, let me show you where to go." And instantly, I became part of that circle. And I went home from that day understanding what I would be doing at Spring Harvest, but more importantly, going when I went with a sense of I belong. I'm part of this loving community. And I went along and it was an incredible week, but it took that welcome to give me a sense of belonging to help me get over that first step. And as we as a church have said repeatedly, and we're going to keep saying it right the way through this series, our purpose as a church is that we are about leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And particularly last week, this morning again, we want to focus on what it is for that relationship to be growing. And one of those areas, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, will be our love for God, our love for Jesus Christ, our love for Holy Spirit. And when John wrote a letter to some churches in the New Testament, he put this phrase in: we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he's given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So if we are going to be a people who grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, who love God more and more, that must be reflected in our love for one another. Where there are fallings out within church, it impacts on our love for God, our relationship with God. We are meant to be a loving community. And I know in a number of conversations I've had with people, even as Trevor and Beth were just sharing then, that sense of love and welcome within this church community has been so precious. Someone else I was talking to this week has had a difficult situation with their brothers and sisters, but said, actually, it's okay, because I've got a family, and it's here. That needs to be the kind of community that we are as Hartford Baptist Church, as well as the whole Church of Jesus Christ. We've set out a couple of values in our statement of who we are that speak a little bit into this. The first one, well, the fifth one, says that we are about creating an environment where people can find true and honest fellowship. Even if that is turning up at a home group and finding that the people hosting it are in the middle of a row and going elsewhere. I didn't know you were going to say that. But actually, is it? No. And you can have another one about that later. But actually, isn't that a wonderful illustration of true and honest fellowship? That a home group turn up and go, okay, not the right time, we'll go elsewhere, we'll still meet. And I don't know, I wasn't there at the time, but I bet they prayed for you. Because life is tough. Life is hard. Life can be awkward. Relationships are not straightforward. Christy and I, at the moment, we're running a marriage preparation course in our home on a Thursday evening. We've got two couples coming along. And last Thursday night, our subject was resolving conflict. And we have these engaged couples who come along, and one couple says, oh, we've never even had an argument. But it will come. It will come. I love my marriage, but we occasionally have bits of conflict. And Christy's very forgiving. We need to be real, authentic, honest with each other. Sometimes And probably in a church our size, not every relationship are you able to get beyond the how are you, fine stage. But we need within the church to have relationships where they say, how are you, that we're free to say, actually, today I'm not fine. As Andrew said in his prayer, those times that it's okay not to be okay. Because life is not always this lovely bed of roses where we go around with our nice evangelical smile all the time because everything's wonderful. It's not like that. If you find that it is like that, please come and tell me your secret. Because I think most of us recognize that it's not. And so somewhere where we can be true and honest and open and real and authentic and all those other buzzwords that go around at the moment, that has to be how we are if we are truly to be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The third value statement that we have as a church says that loving relationships, which are caring, accepting, encouraging, and inclusive, should permeate every aspect of our church life and communities. Again, it's that same sense, whether those two values, they do kind of cover slightly different areas, but there is an overlap between them, isn't there? The church community must be that caring, accepting, encouraging, inclusive place. We have, as I stand here this morning and look out over all of you, I can see behind that those two doors are open. At the very back, anyone going past can come in. And anyone going past who comes in, I know will be welcomed here. We have people on the door specifically to go, welcome. You can even see on their badges, welcome. All the clues are there. But it's not just those people who welcome, who accept, who include, who encourage. It's got to be something every one of us does. And it's not hard to encourage. But we live in a culture and a society where encouragement doesn't happen. It's much easier to knock someone down than to build them up. But it's not hard when you start looking to go, oh, you did that really well. I will tell you. And the first few times you try and do that to someone, they're inherently suspicious. What are you after? What are you trying to do by being nice to me? I'm trying to love you. That's what we do. But gradually, the more we encourage people, the more we build each other up, the more it becomes normal, and the more we can kind of recognize where God is working through us. Had a lady in the first church that I pastored who had an incredibly low sense of her own worth, her own self-esteem. And she was such a gifted and able woman. And so a few of us just made a point of regularly telling her, you did that really well. That was great. Thank you for doing that. It was incredible. And this wasn't things we were making up to flatter. These were things that were genuine, heartfelt appreciation. And after about 5 or 6 months, she said to me, Dave, you know, you're saying this so often, I'm starting to believe it. Hallelujah. But doesn't that become what we are meant to be as church? Caring, accepting, encouraging, inclusive. But the problem I have with both these two values about true and honest fellowship, about caring, accepting, encouraging, inclusive, is that language that we use here in that way is exactly the same language that gets used out there for other societies, organizations, clubs, institutions. The whole political correctness, whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing or something that can go either way, The message that's being given out always is, well, we're all supposed to be caring, accepting, encouraging, inclusive. And it's right, everybody should be. But the problem is, if this is all we're meant to be as a church, where is there a difference? Now, some of you will be sitting there thinking, ah, but as a church, we really mean it. So do they. They mean it. Ah, but as a church, we really do it. Maybe your experience of church is different from mine. Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes as Hartford Baptist Church, we don't do this. We aspire to it, we aim to it. But yeah, there are times that we fall short. But I wonder, and the challenge I want to give this morning is, even if this is our aim of caring, accepting, encouraging, inclusive, is that actually still too comfortable? Is that actually still too low an aim? A few verses after the passage that Chris read to us, Jesus says these words, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So how are we to love one another? The same way Jesus loved us. How did Jesus love us? Well, that's where we turn to the story that Chris read to us about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. We are to love as Christ loves. So how did he love in that way? Well, he started by loving Father. He knew who God, that God had sent him. He was returning to God. It all comes out of that relationship that he has as God the Son with God the Father. That confidence, that security, that actually as long as we're walking in step with God, it really doesn't matter what other people think. It really doesn't matter what attitude other people have to us. We are living to please God, to honour God, to glorify God. And so all the love that we can do for anyone else has to start there. But out of that love for God, he loves the friend. Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is Jesus with his closest friends. We know that the 12 apostles were all there. There may have been some others as well. If you follow Monty Python, there could have been kangaroos and all sorts of things, but probably not at the Last Supper. Whatever Leonardo da Vinci in the Monty Python sketch may have painted in. He loved the friend. These people who'd spent 3 years walking with him, learning from him, being sent out to do the stuff. Jesus isn't just a come and watch what I do. It's come and learn what I do so that you can do it too. These were the people who'd shared great times with Jesus and who'd fled persecution with Jesus. And he loved them so deeply. In that same way that you only get from that bond of living and working and doing everything together. But amongst the group was Judas. The foe, the enemy, the fiend, the one who Satan had already inspired to betray Jesus. The betrayal hadn't happened yet, but it was set on its course. And Jesus knew that, and Judas knew that. And it doesn't read here in chapter 13 that Jesus went round and washed all the disciples' feet except for Judas.
No, I'm not doing yours, Judas.
He washed everyone. Every single one of them, including the person who had already determined in his own mind, in his own heart, I am going to betray you to the authorities so that you will be killed. Jesus knelt like a menial slave and washed Judas's feet.
as I have loved you, so you must love one another. But the story we have in John 13 doesn't particularly focus on Judas. It focuses here on the relationship with Peter. Jesus loved the father, he loved the friend, he loved the foe, he loved the failing. Peter, who wanted to be Jesus' closest friend, his right-hand man, the one who, even if the others desert you, he'd go on to say, I will never leave you. And he can't cope with the idea of Jesus, his Lord, his Master, the one he's acknowledged, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He can't cope with the idea of that Jesus washing his feet. So what happens is, no, Jesus, you will never wash my feet. You're too good. You're too great. You're too important. Now, if Jesus had said to Peter, actually, Peter, could you go round and wash everyone's feet? I don't think Peter would have had a problem with that. Certainly, if Jesus said, Peter, would you wash my feet? I don't think Peter would have had a problem with that. But to let Jesus wash him, we know Peter struggled. And what Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you can have no part with me. Unless I can meet you where you are and take you on, move you to the next step, you can have no part with me. That is love. Our caring, accepting, encouraging, inclusive love that we've put in our value statement, that would be, Peter, you don't want me to wash your feet? That's fine. You just stay as you are because we love you. That is not how Jesus loved. Jesus says at the end, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is principally a model of love lived out through serving. Seeing a need and responding to it. And as I look out today, I can see so many of you where that's just normal. That's just what you do. You see a need and you go, what have I got? What can I do to make that situation better? And if that's you this morning, then you're probably not recognizing that description of yourself. Because my experience is those people who do that, they don't see it as anything special. They don't see it as anything unusual. It's just, well, that's what you do, isn't it? So we as a church are called to be a loving community. Yes, a place where people find true and honest fellowship. Yes, a place where people can have relationships which are caring, accepting, encouraging, and inclusive. We must be a church that for everyone that comes in, that for you coming in this morning, this has to be a place where you are loved as you are. Absolutely. There is no one that I'd want to turn away at the door. There's no one that I'd want ever to go away from here with a sense of, I don't matter. Because you do. You mattered enough for Jesus Christ to die for you. There are times that we will fail. There are times I've heard people say, oh, well, I said hello to Dave on Sunday and he totally blanked me. It's not personal. It's probably that I'm just worried about what I'm going to preach. And I just had something else going through my head and I didn't notice. We've got to be the church that loves you as you are. But we have to be the church that loves you too much just to leave you as you are. Because while Many of you, probably all of you, are wonderful people. You're not the finished article yet. You have not yet attained Christ-like perfection. Again, if you have, tell me how. Because I haven't. Those of you that know me well will know that more acutely than those that don't. Because those that know us best see our worst sides so often. I do not want Hartford Baptist Church to be a place that only loves you as you are and leaves you there, because that is authentic and real and honest. We have to be, as Jesus was with Peter, the people that go, well, actually, no, I'm afraid your feet stink. And that's got to change. It's not that Jesus loved Peter any less before he'd washed his feet. But because he loved him, he knew that needed to happen. If we are that loving community that I'm sure all of us would say we want this church to be, then we have to love enough to look to help people move on, to develop, to grow. And that's really what it means to be having that growing relationship with Jesus Christ. May we pray. Father God, we want to have a growing relationship with you, and we want to lead people into a growing relationship with you. But we so often leave it just as love, when true love, your love, acts to make us better, to make us more like Jesus Christ. We ask, Father God, as your Spirit moves among us, that you will shape our love for each other to be a love that moves us on, that doesn't just settle for how things are now. So move among us by your Spirit and teach us what it truly is to love as you have loved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.